Again, beautiful choir. Thank you, Walter, Matt. Here am I, here am we. Or as our sermon title says, who am we? Now, I know for a fact that this morning's sermon title has been driving a number of you crazy this morning. A little bit longer if you checked the website earlier this week. And you'll just have to wait a little bit longer to better understand. Because this morning we start off talking again about our care, our stewardship of this family. And as we do, I ask the grammatically incorrect question out loud once again, who am we? We're almost at the end of our stewardship season 2016 this morning. It's still not longer than the election cycle this time around, but both will be coming to an end in this week. Be sure to vote this Tuesday and be sure to consider all week long how you will respond to next Sunday and our annual stewardship dedication service. Our future depends on both, though our purpose and our focus when we gather here is only on one consideration, our stewardship and our future together as a community called the church in its Presbyterian expression in Piwee Valley, Kentucky. So let's consider our community. This Sunday is also, of course, All Saints Sunday, the first Sunday after All Saints Day last Tuesday, November 1st. I want to bring stewardship and All Saints Day together for us this morning, the remembrance of those who have come before us and who have made us who we are as persons of faith today, and our commitment to those who will come after us, whose lives we may affect through our stewardship of time and talents and money in the time we spend here. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we do pause to pray in this moment that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, friends, listen for the word of God from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians from chapter 2, beginning with verse 9. You remember our labor and toil, brothers and sisters. We worked night and day so that we might not burden any of you while we proclaimed to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how pure, upright, and blameless our conduct was toward you, believers. As you know, we dealt with each one of you like a father with his children, urging and encouraging you and pleading that you lead a life worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. We also constantly give thanks to God for this, that when you received the word of God that you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as what it really is, God's word, which is also at work in you believers. For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Friends, there's a sense of family in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. Rudyard Kipling once wrote about families, saying, "All of us are we." And whenever we gather as a faith community, the congregation of any particular church, it really doesn't do us any good to ask, who am I? And so you now know why I ask, who am we? I'm not the first to ask that question. I do so this morning as much to get your attention as anything else, I admit, but I'm serious enough. On this Sunday after All Saints Day, in the midst of our annual stewardship season, we ask, who am we as a church family? Kipling said, a family shares things like dreams, hopes, possessions, memories, smiles, frowns, and gladness. A family is a clan held together with the glue of love and the cement of mutual respect. A family is shelter from the storm. a friendly port when the waves of life become too wild. No person is ever alone who is a member of a family. That sounds beautiful. And it's a very positive and desirable description of family. There are less positive options, of course. But this morning we're going to live into Kipling's portrayal in our time together. We're family here. No person is ever alone who is a member of a family. We share dreams and hopes and frustrations, possessions and memories, smiles and frowns, gladness and sadness together. And in our scripture passage, Paul, like a father with his children, is inviting the Thessalonians, and through them is inviting us to receive that relationship, this new relationship into which God, through Christ, has called us a family. We are called to tend to the relationships that being a part of a family, a part of the body of Christ, gives us, nurturing, encouraging, affirming, and challenging, sharing both our vulnerability and our strength with one another. I'm not sure how well you think you all do with that. Take a look around you this morning. How close do you really feel to the others who are here, all of the others who are here? I know that there are a few that everyone is closer to. That's natural. But what about all of the others? Go on, take a look around. Rugged individualism, even small group comfort, is not the gospel. The countercultural call to treat everyone, even virtual strangers, as siblings, brothers and sisters, is. Now, before any of you get too worried about how little you may know the person two pews over from you, or before anyone begins to think that it honestly doesn't matter how present you are with anyone else here, after all, it's just an hour or maybe two a week, I want you to remember someone else. Someone in your own life who is responsible for your being here this morning. I've been looking around the sanctuary since our worship hour began and taking note not only of who is here, but of what each one of you has contributed and is contributing to the life of this congregation. I am deeply, deeply blessed with the breadth and depth of the human experience your lives afford, that you offer to me as your pastor, in one way or another, to one degree or another. I know each and every one of you in deep and deepening ways. Every single one of you have and are contributing something. Make absolutely no mistake about that. Just gathering this morning is huge something, but there is so much more from the countless hours you have spent on sharing music, leading worship, sitting with the staff of our church, planning for the fellowships, caring for our homebound, teaching our children, guiding our youth, traveling to foreign countries, providing for our worship experience, or handling our financial resources. So many of you have and are doing so many of these things and more. I note the contributions that each and every one of you have made to this church, because it is a fact that church members, young and old, who have made and are making meaningful contributions in the church today have always had a mentor, a spiritual guide, someone else in the early years of their life. That's the someone else I want you to remember this morning. Close your eyes if you want to or need to. Focus them on the window or at the back of the pew in front of you. Take a hold of the hand beside you if that helps. But think back. Who is responsible for your being here this morning? I'm sure in many cases there's more than one person, and I'll venture to guess that no one is here this morning without having at least one person behind you, leading you, nudging you toward the doors of this church, the church, here or elsewhere. Coming to church, being a member of the church through a particular congregation is no longer assumed. We've heard over and over that the fastest growing group of people on religious surveys are the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, 25% of the population as a whole, 39% of those ages 18 to 29, to 39, a staggering statistic, and that's growing. Going to church, coming to church is no longer primarily done because we feel obliged to do it. I know that some of us are here because some small degree of obligation, but more than ever, we attend church, participate in worship and fellowship, the ministry and the mission of a community of faith, because we have been motivated to do so. And most often that motivation has come from someone else in our lives who modeled a life, a commitment, a dedication to something beyond themselves that allowed us to experience that more in our own lives. They brought us personally, physically, and spiritually to a community of faith. And we have come back year after year, week after week, to be a part of this countercultural family. We remember those people, the saints in our lives and of our church, the major ones and the more personal ones at this time of year on this Sunday. They have all, in one way or another, in large ways or small, provided for our own presence and all that we are able to experience with one another in our lives of faith here at Pee-wee Valley Presbyterian. That leads very naturally to the season we're engaged in now and our call to hear with boldness in these weeks. What difference might we be making in the lives of those who come after us? Will anyone in 10 or 15 or 20 years, when asked to remember someone in their life who is responsible for their being a part of something bigger than themselves, for being a part of a family that extends far beyond their blood relatives, for their being a part of a church, whatever it may look like in the future, will anyone think of you? Think of us. Will there be members of a church here or anywhere who will be making significant contributions in their community because we made significant contributions in their lives today? And what might that difference be? In most cases, you and I will never know what difference we've made to those who will follow. And that is why we're given times such as this, All Saints Sunday, so that we may remember those whom we follow. God calls us as a people. Our entire faith community is invited into the kingdom of God. We never, ever ask, who am I, when we consider the community in which we worship and gather together. We rather ask, who am we? Or, okay, who are we? It's we who are called to proclaim and to live the kingdom of God, past, present, and future. Friends, there are slips of paper in your pew this morning, at the end of the pew, there on your fellowship pads. If you're sitting on the aisle, would you pick up that bag and take one or two slips out, however many you feel you may need, but pass it down the pew and make sure everyone gets at least one. Write the name or the names of those someones you've been thinking about on that slip of paper. Those who have had some influence on you and your life as a Christian. Maybe they're no longer living, probably most are, but even if they are still, write those names down. As we begin the second verse of our sermon hymn, For All the Saints, please begin to come forward. Brandon and I will be here in front with little pushpins to offer you that you may put those names on the board here in front, along with the pictures of those in this family, in this community that have died in the past year, Ruth and Mary Ann and Irene and Kathy. We'll keep singing, but we will remember and we will celebrate the saints in our lives. And that won't be the end of the celebration this morning as we faithfully endeavor to do all that we do here and as we continue in our season of giving, prayerfully discerning how and how much we will give for the life and the love of all who have gone before us and all who will follow. We will gather around this table to remember again all the saints in our lives. Who am we? We are family. Let us sing and remember. Amen.